This is Night Call, the first and only nationwide listener call-in show on vital issues. Tonight's subject, the new civil rights, secular and religious. Tonight's guest, Father James Gruffy of Milwaukee. Night Call is your program. Share your opinions and ideas with the rest of the country. Speak for yourself and ask your questions directly by calling Night Call in New York City from anywhere in the country. Here are Night Call's special phone numbers. From the East and Midwest, call collect at area code 212-749-3311. From the West at 212-749-3357. And from the New York area at 866-5010. And now from New York City, Night Call's host, Del Shields.
Good evening. There are several large revolutions going on at the same time right now. The ones on the campuses in Western and Eastern Europe, and in North as well as South America. And there are those within the Soviet bloc and Communist China. The revolution within the Catholic Church, and what we call the Second American Revolution, the continuing civil rights struggle which began to intensify in 1963. All of these are tied together somehow and have to do with a universal rising human expectation, a sort of unwillingness to settle for anything less than the other guy has got, as well as a real questioning of the values and the very systems which are now in power. In this sense, our guest tonight is a genuine 1969 model revolutionary. Father James Gruffy led the successful fight for an open housing law in his city of Milwaukee. As such, he had to take on at one time or another his own parish, his own bishop, his own church, and the majority of the people who live in his own city. Which all goes to make Father Gruffy somewhat of an expert on tonight's subject, the new civil rights, secular and religious. He wants to talk about the right of dissent, in and out of the church, birth control, the rights of the people who live in a community to determine their own thing, and his next large effort for black progress in Milwaukee, which is a new program for housing. I want to remind you that Night Call is your program, and that no matter how good a guest we have, we are not really doing business until one of you is on the line and on the air talking with our guest. So get your calls in early. That way you have a much better chance to be heard. Our numbers again from the East and Midwest. You may call area code 212-749-3311. That's area code 212-749-3311. From the West Coast, you may call area code 212-749-3357. That's area code 212-749-3357. And from the New York area, we welcome your calls at 866-5010. Father Gruffy, good evening, sir. Thank you so much for being with us. First off, Father, we learned from the news tonight that there was a situation in Milwaukee where there was some draft card burnings. Could you tell us about it?
Well, I know about as much as you do. Catholic priest and a minister and a Christian brother and a number of lay people burned some draft records downtown here, and I'm waiting for the end of the program so that I can either go down to the jailhouse and find out how the clergymen and the people are doing. They did burn some records downtown today.
Father Gruffy, at a time when many of the black militants are asking to do their own thing and rejecting in many instances white leadership and in some cases complete cooperation from whites, how is it that you have managed to remain out front?
Well, I think that a lot of this has to do with the news media. I'm a priest in a parish which is predominantly black in attendance. The neighborhood is entirely black. Our school is all black, and I'm concerned about the needs of the people in my parish, and the needs of the people in this parish are what determine my actions. I haven't any time to worry about leadership. I'm involved because I'm a human being, and I'm involved in the struggle for social justice. I don't think that a man can be true to his calling and not to exert all of his energy and all of his influence to the wiping out of race. racism in this country and the oppression of blacks by whites, because I think this is the cause of all the problems that I face in our community. I believe that this is relevant Christianity being involved in the needs of our people. This is what determines my actions. I haven't time to think about other things, leadership or whatever else you want to call it. I'm a pastor. I'm concerned about the people here, and this is why I'm involved. What results from that, I cannot help.
Are you satisfied?
What I'm saying is that people choose their own leaders. I don't even know whether or not a person can say that I speak for black people in Milwaukee. There are many leaders here in the black community, and people will follow and listen to whom they want.
Are you satisfied with the progress the churches are making in the area of social justice?
Certainly not. We had a horrible incident here in Milwaukee just a few months ago where a teacher on the south side in a white school hung up a picture of Dr. Martin Luther King. The Christian mothers in that parish saw the picture and complained about it to the pastor and complained about it to the sister superior. Pastor made her take down the picture and then fired her from the school. The pastor is still pastor of that parish. I think that the church is still thunderous in its silence. It hasn't done what it should do in the areas of social justice. We have always had dedicated individuals, I think, within the church that have committed themselves totally and wonderfully to the black men's struggle for equality, but this has always been a minority. We need the hierarchy of the church to come out and speak strongly. I think that it is time for the church to get out of the bedroom conflict and get into the marketplace where it belongs. We spent all our time talking about sex and not enough time talking about social justice.
Father Grappa, we have a number of calls already standing by in Detroit, Michigan, New Orleans, as well as Staten Island, New York, so we'll go first to Detroit, Michigan. Mrs. Marie is hearing Night Call over WJLB. Mrs. Marie, good evening.
Yes. Father, I was wondering, are there very many...
Ma'am, I can't hear you.
Mrs. Marie? All right. I think we were disconnected, and possibly she'll call back. This time we'll go out to New Orleans. Mrs. Gaylord is hearing Night Call over WDSU. Mrs.
Hello.
Gaylord?
Yes, how are you?
Fine, thank you. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. And my name is really Mrs. B.J. Gaylord Jr. May I have a half minute for a statement before my question to your guest?
Yes, you may.
The new civil rights bill is a joke, because the First Amendment to the original Constitution guarantees our freedom of religion. God demands separation of the races. Therefore, under the First Amendment to the Constitution, I remain a segregationist as long as we have a regular Constitution. The Roman Catholic Church, the Pope, and all the clergy combined cannot produce any church doctrine on integration. They lie to the people when they state integration is the Christian way of life. The question: can the man that is called Reverend Grappa be man enough to refute my statement from the Holy Scriptures and our church doctrine, and may I hold for the answer?
Well, first of all, ma'am, I don't think you stated any church doctrine. But as far as segregation is concerned, I think you're wrong here. I believe in the unity of mankind, not the separation of mankind.
I didn't ask your thoughts, Father Grappa, because as a...
Well, lady, you haven't stated anything from the sacred scriptures that says that God is a segregationist.
I think that if you
look to the life of Christ, that Christ often associated with people who were ostracized, in particular the Samaritans, and he himself was Jewish, a member of minority.
Oh, Father Grappa, don't be so silly. Christ was not a Jew.
Well, what was he?
He was a Judean and an Israelite, and it's nowhere in the scripture that he was a Jew. And
same
from the beginning of the Bible to the end is separation of the races. Now stop lying to the people and quote scripture, not your own idea.
Lady, you are sick. You're a white supremacist and you're a bigot. That's your problem. And I fail to see how any person who is a white supremacist and a bigot
can go to church on Sunday and say that she believes in God.
Father, I am a public excommunicant. I don't go to church.
Well, I don't think you should go to church. That's the one good act you have performed. You don't go to church. You ought to stay out. You ought to stay out in the streets where you belong.
Mrs. Gaylord, thank you for calling. This is Night Call in New York. And this time we'll go out to Staten Island. Mrs. Jones is hearing Night Call over WLIB. Mrs. Jones, good evening.
Thank you. Hello.
Hello.
After listening to this lady, I'm a little hesitant to ask my question. I was going to ask Father Grappi, since I'm a black Roman Catholic, I was going to ask him whether he would go by the news media and term himself as a militant, since you asked him a question previously about being militant. Would he consider himself a militant?
Well, I think, ma'am, it depends upon what you mean by militant. See,
well, when I say militant, excuse me for interrupting, when I say militant, I mean someone who will say, like, if we can't have civil rights, whether it's black or what have you, I'm willing to lay down my life, so to speak. That's what I term as being militant.
Well, I think so, ma'am. I think that... as far as the people in my parish are concerned, I never ask them to do anything that I myself would not do, whether that be walking the picket line, whether that be walking in the demonstration, whether that be going to jail, or whether that be spending the rest of my life next to him in a cemetery. I think that this is the kind of commitment that, Christians have to commit themselves to. Now, I think that also, if you talk about militancy, you know, I think you're talking about tactics, and you're also talking about objectives. And I am somewhat an optimist, perhaps a dreamer, as Dr. Martin Luther King was. I'd like to see people of all ethnic groups live together in harmony, and perhaps in an integrated society. But I think that this is also, again, a question of free choice, that people can live wherever they want to live. And if blacks wish to live in an integrated society, well, I think this is a black person's business. The black man chooses to live within the black community. I think that this is his business also. But as far as his tactics are concerned, I think tactics are determined by particular issues. And I agree with the black militants who say that we will use whatever means is necessary to see to it that we get our God-given rights in this society.
Well, after that statement, how can you say you're not concerned with leadership? What do you mean by leadership?
Well, what I'm saying, ma'am, is that I have never, in my own personal involvement, considered becoming a leader. I am a leader in the sense that I am a priest. I've been called to preach the gospel and to offer the holy sacrifice, the Mass. And
well,
I
that's in the church. You're a leader outside of the church, in my opinion.
Well,
right?
Thank you, ma'am. I have not considered that in my involvement. I have considered the needs of the poverty-stricken people that encircle my parish, and I don't like the fact that the children across the street don't have a good pair of shoes to wear, or that they have to go to bed hungry nights, and that they have to submit themselves to a third-rate education, and to police harassment and police brutality, and the fact that slum landlords exploit the people in this parish. And this has determined my involvement and my activity. And if that pushes me in the position of leadership,
of a leader,
well,
you accept it.
Mrs. Jones, may I ask this question of you? Is it possible that each person who speaks on behalf of civil rights becomes a leader?
Only to the extent that you are speaking in behalf of civil rights. I think a lot of people, black and white, say they are speaking for civil rights, but they're really speaking for themselves.
Well, not to take anything away from Father Grappi at all, but I think our press here in America has been responsible for more instant leaders than...
Supporting the sincere people, such as him, at least I believe.
Well, I think this, ma'am, that it's people whom determine whom they're going to follow. I don't think...
Yes, but if you're misrepresented by the press or news media or what have you...
Well, ma'am, may I ask you a question? What have I done that you are opposed to?
No. Nothing as far as I know, but I'm saying a lot of times these so-called leaders, whether they be black or white, are misquoted, misrepresented. They're quoted out of context of what they're really saying.
Well, I agree.
And the average public misunderstands.
Well, I agree with this, that the press is responsible for a lot of... I don't know what the papers have been writing.
I mean, this is why I like Night Call, because you get the actual individual, whether it's pro or con. You really get... You know, first-hand information, at least I feel that you do.
Mrs. Jones,
yeah, I'd like to clarify that one question she mentioned on the question of leadership. I feel that here in the parish of St. Boniface, where I am a priest, and where I do preach the gospel to black and white people that do come to this parish, and where I do teach in the school, and I work with the home and school and this sort of thing, that by this very fact, I am pushing the position of leadership here in the parish of St. Boniface. Also, as far as the Milwaukee NAACP Youth Council, which I serve as an advisor and perhaps have spent the majority of my time there, I feel the role is a self-liquidating role, that the leadership within that organization has to make the decisions and take care of their own affairs. And I think that the organization, the Milwaukee NAACP Youth Council, has developed to a point right now where actually, you see, they don't need an advisor. They make their own decisions. They handle their own meetings. They take care of everything themselves. And some very fine leadership has developed there, in particular with the commando group within the Milwaukee NAACP Youth Council. The organization is practically all black. It is made up of what people call grassroots young people who have found their identity and who have found a purpose for living within that organization. And there, I think, is where the perhaps the tragedy has occurred, that the press has blown me up as a leader. But in that particular group, the Youth Council makes its own decisions.
Haven't they also compared this corps, or cadre, or whatever you term them, as being minor Black Panthers?
I've never read this, ma'am.
Mrs. Jones, we want to thank you so much for calling.
Thank you, Mrs. Hugh.
Thank you, Father. Just before we go to station identification, I would just want to make one observation that this is our 82nd show since we've been with Night Call, and this was the first evening that we've ever cut a listener off the air. Now, we don't mind our listeners disagreeing with the guest, but there's one thing that we do demand, and that is respect for our guests. You don't necessarily have to agree with them, but we will have our guests respected at all times. And if our guest is not going to be respected by our callers, we will cut you off. We'll return to our guest, Father Grappi, who's calling in from Milwaukee right after station identification. Stay tuned for the Night Call Network.
More Night Call with Del Shields and guest Father James Grappi after station identification. Night Call welcomes your comments about this nationwide listener call-in program. Your opinions and reactions are of value to the producers of Night Call in their continuing attempt to initiate and stimulate dialogue between the black man in the street and his white counterpart. Please address your comments to Night Call, Pomona, New York, zip 10970. That's Night Call, Pomona, New York, zip 10970. The producers of Night Call attempt to balance the points of view presented on this series about controversial issues. In keeping with this traditional concern for free expression on controversial matters, Night Call invites requests for equal time from responsible representatives on opposing points of view if it's thought they have not been adequately represented on the air. Such requests should be addressed to Night Call, Pomona, New York, zip 10970. That's Night Call, Pomona, New York, zip 10970. Ask your own questions direct. Speak for yourself, collect from anywhere in the country to Father James Grappi about the new civil rights. Call Night Call Collect from the East and Midwest on area code 212-749-3311. From the West on area code 212-749-3357. And from the New York area on 866-5010. Again, Del Shields.
And we return to our guest, Father James Grappi, calling in from Milwaukee, Wisconsin. This time we'll go out to Dallas, Texas. Miss Logan is here in Night Call over radio station KNOK-FM. Miss Logan, good evening.
Good evening.
Your question, ma'am.
I wanted to ask Father Grappi, if I'm not mistaken in my view that the church should be the pillar of the community. I know as a black Catholic, we seem to have had a problem in our parish. We have a priest who seemingly doesn't really care about the parish, nor the parishioners. We have made several requests to, not directly, but indirectly, to either talk with the priest or and have him understand our problem, or to have him removed. Each time we've always gotten the same thing, an indifferent priest. And the one we've had for years, they removed him. And I just don't understand our diocese here. It seems as though we're just too, as far as the Negro is concerned, he's nothing, apparently, to our bishop as far as his needs and his wants are concerned. And I was wondering if I might ask Father Grappi if maybe I could be wrong in thinking that the church should be the pillar of the community, as I explained to our priest. As a young Negro woman and who is divorced and has children to take care of, there are lots of temptations out there around the corner at every bend, you know? And if you can't find any type of spiritual guidance through your church and trying to talk with your priest about your problems, and he tells you, well, he doesn't have time, where are you to go?
I understand what you mean. Are you criticizing the priest because of his lack of commitment to black people?
Right, this attitude.
All right, fine, real good. I think that this has been the real problem with the church, is that it has always chosen to be non-involved, and that through its silence it speaks. I think that what you ought to do there, you see, with the problem with the white clergymen and with white priests that come into the black communities, that they are products of white ghettos, of a racist cultural background. They don't understand the problems of people who live in poverty. They don't understand the racist system in which we live. And they don't understand the fact that they also have been affected by racism. It's a tragedy, but many of our priests are racist. Many of our sisters are affected by the racist cultures in which they live. I think that what you ought to do there is you organize the black parishioners there, and you get together with Father, and you put it to him, as we say, you tell it like it is. And I don't think that there should be any question whatsoever as to how the church stands about the oppression of black people by white America here. And I think that he's got to commit himself very strongly. If you feel that he is prejudiced, you ought to tell him, well, please leave us alone. Go out into white America. We don't need any priest in our community that doesn't like black people. And if the priest himself is not going to ask for a transfer, I would suggest that you get the black parishioners from your parish and that you go and see the bishop and you demand his removal. And if the bishop isn't going to remove him, well, then go to further direct action.
Yes, because well, we had a priest here visiting for 4 weeks. And this 4 weeks that he was here, you have never seen a parish just completely turn about. Was like the young people started coming back to church. He was a young priest, and he was just out of the seminary. But he came in there, and he could see, I guess after the first day he had come to the parish, how far behind these people were, or how far behind we as a parish were. And my best friend and I have been going across town even to Mass, because of the apathy that our priest had. But we started going back to Mass at our parish after Father Doyle came in, because he was such a dynamic person. And we talked to the bishop about trying to see if we couldn't keep him here, you know, if there was some way we could have him. Well, they sent him to Mississippi, and we figured, well, they needed him more there. But the thing of it is that we have asked for a black priest.
Yeah.
But, of course, this seems to be asking for the moon. This is just out of the question. It is told in an indirect way, you know. It seems as if there aren't any, which I know there are very few black priests, possibly in the order of our parish. We can't seem to get a diocesan priest, but we can't get an order priest, a black, you know.
Well, let me say this, ma'am. I one of our members of our parish that worked in Alabama a few summers ago, and actually I brought him down and worked on voter registration, and what his answer would be, because I had worked in the South quite a bit myself, but his answer was this, that the church should be the most militant civil rights group that there is. And I believe this, that this is the essential teaching of Jesus Christ. It's brotherhood, it's justice. And any priest who comes into the black community and looks at the poverty that he has to face constantly as a result of economic and racial oppression in this country and does nothing about it is a priest that has no business being there. And I think that the church has to commit itself very openly, very strongly on this issue of racism in America, and has to do everything possible, whether that means the picket line or demonstration or going to jail or whatever it might be, might mean. That priest has to commit himself totally to the elimination of racism, because white racism in this country is the cause of all the problems that we face in the black community. And until a man commits himself totally to this, I don't think he has any business in the black community. I don't even think he has any business in the priesthood.
Miss Logan, thank you so much for calling.
Thank you.
This is Night Call in New York. Our guest tonight is Father James Grappi of Milwaukee. And tonight, the new civil rights, secular and religious, is our conversation. And this time, we'll go out to Cleveland, Ohio. Mr. Wolf is hearing Night Call over WERE. Mr. Wolf, good evening, sir.
Hello, how are you this evening?
Fine, thank you.
I'm fine, Mr. Seale. Father Brassi, I have heard you in the past on the news programs on TV. And I don't go along quite with all your ways. I don't know, maybe I'm wrong, but I think sometimes you create more violence in Milwaukee than good. Now, what happened the other day? I have no connection with this, or know if it was connected, but the priest that was mobbed and knocked over on the altar, was this a group of your people, if I may ask you?
Well, there were some of the people were parishioners of St. Boniface. At least they come to church here. There were white parishioners. There were no blacks involved in that action at all. But we do have a number of whites who come here, people who are looking for a relevant preaching of the gospel and a relevant means of putting the Christian message into action. Now, as far as the priest that was knocked over on the altar, I got the true story of that, the demonstrator did not knock him over, but a policeman pushed a demonstrator, and he landed into the priest, and the priest fell down.
Well, Monsignor Kelly isn't hurt, is he?
No, he didn't fall very hard, ma'am, but what I'm saying is that the demonstrator was not responsible for this. It was the policeman who had pushed the demonstrator.
Well, I didn't know only what I had heard other people tell me.
I would like to remark on that, because Father Riddell, who was arrested there, is a good friend of mine, and I admire him as a man of great courage, and I understand what the demonstrators were complaining about, you see, because they were conscientious Christians. They don't like what America is doing in Vietnam. They don't like the fact that napalm is being poured on villages, and that young children are being burned up there. They think it's a violation of Christian morality here. They don't like the fact that the church is silent when there is so much racial bigotry and oppression right within the church. And when they go to church on Sunday, the silence of the church is thunderous in their ears. They believe that the church has a responsibility to speak out. And all the demonstrators wanted to do was to have permission to go up to the pulpit and to read a statement. And from what I understand, that permission was even given. Then it was refused or something, or the police were called by the time they got up to the altar. Now, I feel that Monsignor Kelly was wrong in calling the police on Catholic parishioners who wanted to be heard. And as far as St. Boniface is concerned, whenever anyone has anything to say on any issue whatsoever, they're welcome to come up to the pulpit and to voice their points of view. In fact, we encourage this.
Father Brassi, I have just one comment to make.
Mm-hmm.
I am blind, and this has bothered me. America, we are supposed to be one of the countries that have knowledge, education, and everything else, and it seems like our government, the men that have the knowledge and education, just war, fighting, killing, and hatred. I can't see it myself. I cannot understand why it is going on. In other words, this bothers me.
Well, I can't understand it either, ma'am. It would seem to me that people 10,000 miles across the sea have the right of self-determination, and I like to say that we are practicing a kind of euthanasia there. You know, we are putting a gun to a yellow man's head and saying, we are going to save you from communism and then blow his brains out. And I think that we ought to get out of there. I think it was a mistake to get involved in the manner in which we had. I think that the what we call the Viet Cong and the North Vietnamese are very courageous people. We like to say that we are stopping communism and that we are fighting communists, but the attitude in their mind is that we must get the foreigner off our land. And this is a very noble motive.
Mr. Wolf, thank you so much for calling. We have to break for station
thank
identification.
You very much.
Thank you. This is Night Call in New York. We'll return to our guest, Father James Graffi, right after station identification. Stay tuned for the Night Call Network.
More Night Call with Del Shields and guest, Father James Graffi, after station identification. Next week on Night Call. Monday, former Congressman Brooks Hayes on just how honest should a politician be. Tuesday, folk singer Joan Baez on what she says the nonviolent protest should be. Wednesday, Cornell University chaplain Father Daniel Berrigan, he says the draft is a bloody mess. Thursday, sex expert Dr. Mary Calderon on sex and society. And Friday, Esquire magazine political commentator Dwight McDonald, he says we need an entirely new American Constitution. Political ethics, nonviolent protests, the draft, sex and society, and a new American Constitution. All this next week on Night Call. Ask your own questions direct. Speak for yourself, collect from anywhere in the country to Father James Graffi about the new civil rights. Call Night Call Collect from the East and Midwest on area code 212-749-3311. From the West on area code 212-749-3357. And from the New York area on 866-5010. Again, Del Shields.
And welcome to the Night Call stations who join us for the second half hour each night. Our guest, once again, Father James Graffi, calling in from Milwaukee, Wisconsin. And this time we'll go out to Detroit, Michigan. Mr. Nyson is hearing Night Call over WJLB. Mr. Nyson, good evening, sir.
Good evening. Father Graffi, I'd like to ask you for your definition or explanation of white racism and whether or not it coincides with the meaning as given by the Kerner Commission report.
Yeah, I think so. I think what it means is that essentially is this, that white people cannot relate to black people as an equal human being, and that because of this racist attitude towards black people, we have all sorts of problems. White people flee from black people as though they were afflicted with some type of contagious disease. And I think this is essentially what we mean by white racism, is the attitude amongst white people that they have been created by God as someone superior to a black person.
Would you suggest how this message can be communicated to white people so that they can hear it and understand it?
Well, I think there are a number of ways. I think that the church and the education system in the white community has to be changed. I like to speak in particular of the church because I happen to be a clergyman. I don't think that clergymen in white society are trying to civilize white people. And by this, I don't think that they are preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ in a relevant manner. I think that educational process and a great many studies, more studies than we've had of black people, has to be done in white America. And that tremendous amount of education and human relations has to be done there, out in white America. Here in the black community, we do many things. You know, we teach our people not to shrink in any way from any form of injustice or any in any way whatsoever, that they stand up and fight for what their God-given rights are. And when we demonstrate, when we march, when we protest, and even when we throw bricks, we believe that we are teaching the white man to respect the black man. And this is the way we deal with
it. Father, you talked about educate the whites. How do you do it? Who can do it?
I think sometimes the best way you educate a white man who is a white racist is to punch him in the nose. That depends upon what kind of a white bigot you're talking about. I believe this, that if that is what it's going to take to teach white America to respect the black man, well, then that is what has to be done. And I think that when the black man threw bricks with some of the violence that we have had in the past, we have taught white America to respect the black man. I think that this respect precedes true brotherhood.
Do you feel white America is learning?
Pardon?
Do you feel that white America is learning?
Well, I'm saying this, that as far as I'm concerned, I'm not too concerned about white sensitivities or white racism any longer. I think that's white America's problem. My approach here in the black community is to see to it that black people have a decent place to live, that their God-given rights are protected, that we have a good educational system here, that we have black self-determination here, that we have a number of black policemen in the black community here, and to bring to the black man the dignity that is his. And we do this by teaching the black man many things. And perhaps the most essential thing is that black is beautiful, and that the blonde, blue-eyed girl that white America portrays as the essence of beauty is not necessarily true. That the black man is beautiful. And this is what we are concerned about here. And I think that there is a kind of turning in the black community today where we are concerned about our community, our housing situation, our jobs, and so forth. And I think that this is also a way of teaching white America that that the black man is equal. Well, I think that problem with white racism has to be dealt with by the church, which is predominantly white. And I'm talking about the Catholic Church, the majority of Protestant sects. These are their people. If they're bigots, and if they're racist, well, they're suffering from a pathological illness. And then I think that it's a church out there that has to speak out very militantly and very openly about what is right and what is wrong, and that if parishioners are going to call up their parish priest and call him a nigger lover or whatever it might be, this is what he's got to do. And if our churches lose half their membership, well, fine. And these people, like this white person from New Orleans, have no business going to church in the first place. And I think that a very strong approach has to be taken, that we can't in any way mitigate the message, that things have to be laid on the line, hard and cold, and if white America is going to accept this, fine. If she's not going to accept this, well, for heaven's sake, at least stay away from church.
Father, I know there are a lot of people that I want to call, and I'd like to ask two questions and hang up, and perhaps you might comment. What would you think of a black Kerner Commission? That is, a Kerner Commission made up of black people to investigate whites. And number two, what role do you think a white person who wants to help and wants to learn how to help and what to do in the black community, what role do you think such a person can play?
I think a black Kerner report would be good. I think it's about time we get black men to study white America. As many black men studying white America as we've had white people studying black America. I think that a great deal of studying has to be done.
As far as the white person that wants
to get involved, I think that your job is predominantly out in white America.
Would you have any suggestions as to how?
Relating to the person that lives next door, organize whites to protest against the injustice.
Stay in the white
to
community?
The black man in the white community, correct.
There's no place for the whites in the black community? With black people?
I'm white and I'm in the black community, and I think that a black person is going to judge your leadership by your integrity
And by the extent that you commit yourself to the black man's movement, our problem here is that most of the whites that want to work in the black community live out there and want to come in here and make decisions for black people and tell him what his problem is. And I think that this is perhaps the most crucial problem. If you want to work in the black community, I would suggest that you do take your wife and your family and you find yourself a house within the black community, you live here, and you become a part of the community totally here, that you send your children to school as black children, and that you integrate yourself in a true sense in the black community. The problem with most whites that come into the black community is this. They say they are for integration, and that is why they come here. But it's always integration at arm's length. What I am saying is that if whites want to work in the black community, I think it would be very important for you to come.
Do the black people accept them?
Certainly.
Mr. Nyssen, thank you.
Some that do not, but I think that this is a problem you're going to face everywhere, but I don't think that you're going to find the kind of oppression of a black
I agree with you,
white.
Father. I'm white. I've gone into the black community. I find myself able to work with them when I can understand and I can play the proper role, which is to assist when asked for.
Very fine. I agree.
Thank you for calling, sir.
Bye.
Thank you. This is Night Call in New York. To Sacramento, California, Mr. Johnson is hearing Night Call over KERS-FM. Mr. Johnson, good evening, sir.
Good evening, sir.
Your question.
Oh, yes. I'd like to know what the father thinks why do you feel there's so much agitation now between the whites and the blacks?
Mr. Johnson, we have a very bad line, but I'll repeat your question to Father Grappi and see if he'll give us an answer. Thank you. Father Grappi?
Yeah, I didn't get that question.
What is the reason for the agitation between the blacks and whites? And while you're responding to that, I'd also like to add, or kind of tag that question with this, is Governor Wallace the black man's problem or the white man's problem?
It's the white man's problem. Governor Wallace, who recognizes us a racist, our problem is with whites who say they are our friends and yet constantly pour cold water on actions by militant blacks. We believe is necessary in order to eliminate the injustices imposed upon us. I think Dr. King made this very clear in his letter from a Birmingham jail. It was the white liberal clergyman that bothered him. He believed that they caused more problems as far as the black man's struggle for equality than even the Ku Klux Klan. As far as the agitation between blacks and whites, I think this is obvious. The cause of it is the injustices levied upon the black man by white America in the past and in the present. White suppression. It's white racism, as the Kerner Commission reported.
Mr. Rotundo is hearing Night Call over WTLC-FM in Indianapolis, Indiana. Mr. Rotundo, good evening, sir.
Good evening, sir.
Your question, sir.
Yes. Father Grappi, I'm a CCD instructor here in the city of Indianapolis, and I find that my students, when we talk about social problems and the problems of this race issue here, I hit a blank wall. I gave them an assignment.
First, sir, what is a CCB instructor?
It's an instructor for a Catholic church who's supposed to teach Christian doctrine.
I see. Thank you.
And I instruct high school students, and I had to give them a problem to go see the movie Guess Who's Coming to Dinner. And out of a class of 11 pupils, not one was able to go because their parents refused to let them go see this movie. And yet, every one of these students had told me they were allowed to go see such movies as The Graduate, et cetera, et cetera. Now, I cannot wholeheartedly instruct Christian doctrine when I am faced with family ties of instructing them on the other side this way. What am I to do?
I think you got a problem there with the total parish structure. Apparently, there's something wrong with your pastor and with the assistant priest there, because I think that educational process there also has to be directed to adults. I think this is what causes many sisters and many teachers and many priests to be reluctant in even teaching brotherhood in the school system, is that they're afraid that their children are going to go home to their parents and that their parents are going to react. And their parents do react. Their parents are bigots. And I think that you have to state very clearly and very strongly to the children there exactly what you believe, and perhaps even an intergroup meeting with black students to discuss the problems of racism in America would be something good. me get kicked out of school because of this, but that might be good also. If you can't do your job in accordance with your conscience in a meaningful way, well, then you're wasting your time in the school.
Well, what action can one take to who has a past such as this? We have an incident here in Indianapolis where one of the local pastors refused to mention the word or remember Martin Luther King on the National Day of Prayer. I went to church hoping something would be mentioned, and nothing was. And yet, I was always taught that.
I can share your despair. I think this is why I say that the problem is in white America, and that the problem has to be solved there. That a great deal of organization has to be done within the white community, within your own parish. Now, this is, I know what affected the group of white parishioners that disrupted the mass at St. John's Cathedral here in Milwaukee on Sunday. They just got tired of this kind of silence. Their consciences bothered them, and they believed that this was a blasphemy of their religion, the fact that the church was silent on something as crucial as this. And I don't know if it's possible or not. I think you're going to really be bucking your head against the wall, but somehow or other there must be some conscientious white Christians within your parish. They should be organized. Your pastor ought to be confronted. This is the tragedy of religion today. We identify sanctity with a mechanical and gymnastic reception of the sacraments and attendance at Mass, which is done in a very ritualistic way, without any real relevancy towards change in society. This is why I say the church ought to get out of the bedroom. We've been talking about sex for I don't know how many hundreds of years, and we have not been talking about the real message of Jesus Christ, and that is brotherhood. Love. Your pastor and Christians read the life of Christ. They see him carrying the cross. They see him dying on the cross. And they look back in a very pietistic way, never realizing that if they are supposed to be Christians, well, they are supposed to pick up the cross of Jesus Christ and also follow him up to Calvary. And this is exactly what it means to be a Christian. And I think this is exactly what is going to happen to your pastor and to yourself if you commit yourself totally to the message of Jesus Christ. The problem is that we have very few Christians in the world today.
Mr. Batenda?
I think that some kind of, what you ought to do is try to organize some white parishioners in your parish and then confront that pastor. And if it takes some kind of dramatic action where a group of you get tired of this kind of nonsense and you go up to the pulpit and say, Father, we've got something to say, and you say it, I think that you have to do this.
Mr. Batenda, thank you for calling, sir.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. This is Night Call in New York. We'll return to our guest right after station identification. Stay tuned for the Night Call Network.
More Night Call with Del Shields and guest Father James Groppi after station identification. Tomorrow night on Night Call, the Middle East crisis with Rabbi Mark Tannenbaum of the American Jewish Committee on some Jewish and Christian perspective about the troubles between Israel and the Arab bloc nations. Is peace possible? Under what terms and conditions? Can the United Arab Republic afford to recognize the sovereignty of Israel and continue in its role of Arab leadership? Why is Russia backing the Arabs, and why are we, at least sometimes, backing Israel? Can we avoid an East-West confrontation? Does the United Nations peacemaking attempt have any possibility of success? Join Rabbi Mark Tannenbaum for some of the answers to the Middle East crisis. Tomorrow night on Night Call, the first and only nationwide call-in show on vital issues. Ask your own questions direct. Speak for yourself, collect from anywhere in the country to Father James Groppi about the new civil rights. Call Night Call Collect from the East and Midwest on area code 212-749-3311. From the West on area code 212-749-3357. And from the New York area on 866-5010. Again, Del Shields.
And this time we go out to Nashville, Tennessee. Mr. Ball is hearing Night Call over WVOL. Mr. Ball, good evening, sir.
Good evening.
Your question, sir.
I'd like to ask Father Groppi how long and why did he get involved in civil rights?
involvement goes back quite a number of years. I was ordained in 59. I was involved as a seminarian when we got all of summer months. But the purpose of my involvement, I have stated earlier, is the sufferings I see daily here in the black community in the eyes of my children and the families that live across the street. We have a third-rate educational system here in the black community. The discrimination in employment is fantastic. We have many white clients and white-owned businesses here in the black community that do not hire black people. We still have a tremendous amount of discrimination in housing. The population density here is terrific. And when I go into the home of one of the families in the parish in the cold winter months and I see my children sitting around a pot-bellied stove trying to keep warm, 10 and 12 people living in a 3- and 4-room shack that isn't fit for human habitation, this bothers me. See, and this is a violation, as far as I'm concerned, of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the social teachings of the church that calls for an equitable distribution of the goods of Almighty God. And I don't like the relegation of my people to secondary status in society.
Well, another question. These so-called white Christians, how is it that they feel that they're going to get into heaven and everything when they go out and they bomb churches when the churches are holding services, pick up a black man off the street, take him off somewhere, shoot him, lynch him or whatever? How is it that they feel they're in the right and going to heaven whenever judgment comes?
I don't know the answer to that question, brother. You and I know where they're going. They're going to hell, and I think that's where they belong. But I don't know the answer to that question. They're sick. I think that we have here in America is a pathological situation. I don't know the answer to that question. They're certainly inhuman. They're beasts. Some of the people in the community here say that Christianity has failed the black man, and they can present a very good case. But I like to say that Christianity hasn't failed anyone. It's never been tried. And I have found a Christian community here, the black community, the families that come to church here, the children in the school, and as far as I'm concerned, anyone who goes out and works in white America is doing missionary work. That's where the Christianization of society has to take place. It's not here.
Thank you for calling, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. To Iowa City, Iowa, Mr. Hartzell is hearing Night Call over WSUI. Mr. Hartzell, good evening, sir.
Good evening. Father Grumpy?
Yes.
I have a question, actually, in the form of a statement that I want to ask. First of all, let me say that I sympathize greatly in what you were trying to do.
But
I'm also aware of an irony in your situation as being a member of the Catholic Church. And this is that I think any kind of full social justice that either you or anyone else in this country is going to be going after is going to remain an enigma as long as the church remains structurally in terms of meaning as it has been for the past 2,000 years. And this is what I mean to say is that a great deal of the social justice that is being attempted in this country today by a great many people, including myself, I must say, is prompted more as an escape from what the church has failed to do within itself than from anything that the church really advocates. And when you say things like the real problem with the church or the real problem with Christianity is that the primary doctrine of Christ is brotherhood and love and things like that, and then you turn around and say that sex really has very little to do with it.
What I'm saying here is that the emphasis has been on sex.
Yes. Well, I think the emphasis on sex is all very well and good. I think the problem
yes,
is
well, I have no
if
problem.
You run away from that emphasis, you are really
running away
from something that is absolutely crucial to the church itself. The problem is that in running away from it and running to things like social justice and such, which is very easy to do and very, very...
It's a question of the hierarchy of order. I think the question of emphasis, and I'm saying that social justice is more important. I think this is where our gap has been.
But I think, you know, I can sympathize with you and your answer.
I think your original question was the structure of the church. And I think you're talking about institutionalism here. And I think that this is one of the real problems of the church. We've become concerned about liabilities and assets, and that the political system, the political structure, has actually become a sanctuary for the church. And as a result, the church is reluctant to say things or to do things that is going to disturb things in the political order.
Yes, I agree with you. But I think if the church is going to be true to itself, that's exactly what it has to do. And, in other words, the church has to be more true than the church, if you understand what I'm talking about. What I'm trying to say is that social justice on any level, it seems to me, is going to be absolutely illusory until the church really does its real job, which is within itself. Mm-hmm. And that it has not done. It has not done that for 2,000 years, and I hope to hell it gets on the ball soon.
Well, I agree with you, brother. I think this also that... I think that when we talk about the church, I think also that we are talking about people, and that there have been people within the structure of the church
who have committed
themselves in the present and in the past, but this has always been a minority. Our problem has been mostly with the hierarchy, and they are always playing a very cautious and a very conservative line, and it's true that the church has always been the defender of the status quo, and I think that this is a tragedy.
Thank you for calling, sir.
Okay.
Thank you. We come to that point in our show, which is always the saddest part of the show, because we are unable to take any more phone calls, and Father Grappi has been a most excellent guest, because we've had quite a few phone calls tonight. But we always like to promise you that if we can't get you on the line, that at least you can drop us a note or a card or a letter to Night Call. That's in Pomona, New York. That's P-O-M-O-N-A. That's Pomona, New York, zip code 10970. That's Night Call. Pomona, P-O-M-O-N-A, New York, 10970. And we'll try to get an answer to you, or if you'd like for us to pass the question on to one of our guests, we'll be happy to do so. Father Grappi, we want to thank you so very much for being our guest tonight on Night Call. And we want to wish you very well in all of your endeavors in Milwaukee.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you for being our guest.
You're welcome.
This is Del Shields in New York. Good night and peace.
Night Call, the first and only nationwide listener call-in show on vital issues. Tomorrow night, same time, same station, Rabbi Mark Tannenbaum of the American Jewish Committee on the Middle East Crisis. Listen tomorrow night. Discuss freely and responsibly your own personal opinions. Speak for yourself on Night Call. Produced by the United Methodist Church, presented with National Council of Churches, National Catholic Office for Radio and Television, American Jewish Committee, and Urban Coalition.